CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to it. This is the Gareth Cliff Show, part two, on the 6th of
August.
Nice, yeah. See, finish each
we
of the sentences.
We got this date thing, this calendar thing, this season thing. Look at us.
We've got Brandon Kynoch coming in just a bit. Now, he's a 16-year-old self-taught game developer. When are you going to meet a 16-year-old self-taught game developer in your life? You can right here.
Well, I have a bunch of questions for him around, you know, it's one thing to be passionate about something.
Let's save it for when he's here.
Well, yeah, I just want to get it out of the way. You know, how do you get into the back end of developing?
Ooh.
Where does that come from? And what lies ahead in his future? I think he'll be a cool person to talk to.
All right, well, Sia gets into his back end a little bit. We are going to talk about... Sia, I'm trying to segue into another segment.
You don't have to use segues.
We are going to talk about land. Now, where were we in life before WhatsApp? I mean, I'm not saying it's the best chat app. Maybe it is. It's the most widely used. You can't dispute that. But like, where were we prior to this happening in life? Because everything gets shared nowadays amongst our friends, our peer group, our work group. We all have these groups, right? You know, there's obviously Telegram, there's WeChat, and there's so many. But one thing you probably have been shared around is this whole land hearing thing.
Uh-huh.
So as Anthea spoke about in her money shot this morning, Cyril basically coming out, pulling a full-on Jacob Zuma and doing this whole thing last week at 10 o'clock at night. As Anthea said, there's so many things that are wrong with this announcement that he made. But one of them was that there's a whole commission of inquiry / roadshow happening in the country right now, where people are going all over, to hear people's thoughts about land, hearing thoughts about what should happen, who's entitled, blah, 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 blah. But there's an entire process, okay? So you've got to give them credit where credit's due. People are going to communities and they are allowing people to have their say. This is what should happen in a democratic society, which, in case you haven't realized, we still are, I think, slightly. I'm not sure. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
So this is happening. These land conversations are happening, but Cyril decided, well, fuck it, I'm just going to make this announcement right now because I'm really worried about the 6% of the EFF. I am so shit scared of Julius Malema, this boy with half a brain, that I must now make the sweeping decision, which then goes to prove that maybe Cyril is a very similar kind of person. Anyway, that's for later in the conversation. But what I will play for you is this clip going around of the kind of things that people are saying at these land summits. Is there an actual thing? Constitutional Review Committee. That's what it is. Okay. Let's just listen to the kind of caliber of people and what is being said at these things.
That we as Africans, we cannot allow ourselves. It is not a secret.
All right, sorry.
It is not
sorry. I pressed the volume up and it went down. Okay. Constitutional Review Committee. These are some of the conversations that are being had.
That we as Africans, we cannot allow ourselves to be ruled by white foreigners. It is not a secret. It is not a secret that a white man is a foreigner in Africa. So Africans, if you are not ready to fight, you will be slaves for the rest of your lives. We must take our land, even if they refuse to amend the constitution. We must take our land, either through policy or by force. This land is ours and we must take it.
Okay, so first up, this isn't a personal grievance. This isn't a land claim issue. This is a narrative issue. We must take the land. Let's just take it.
Today, when they go back to parliament, they must know that we as the youth of South Africa,
unemployed, thanks to the parliament. Sorry, that's just me adding that.
To amend the constitution, is going to be no land, no democracy. No land, no peace. Thank you.
Hi, thank you very much.
Okay, so there we go. Gets a big crowd cheer from the crowd. This is how it's going to go down.
As black people, we are sick and tired of the white people.
Call me a purist, but that's hate speech, is it not? You've got someone basically kind of on an official forum, which this is. Does she know every white person? Has she been traveling for the last 20 years and met every single one of us? Sick and tired, okay? So this is... Where do you think it's going to go if she's sick and tired of a race? Well, she's had it with a race. She's just generalizing all evil.
Looking at the definition of hate speech, it's speech that attacks a person or group on the basis of their attributes such as race, religion, or ethnic origin. So,
okay, so this woman, she's just sick and tired of whites.
We are following this process of parliament peacefully because we are a peaceful nation generally. But we don't want to be pushed to the point where we take the land by force. Nothing stops us from taking the land by force. As a matter of fact, we are the majority
here. No, sweetheart. The law stops you. We have a rule of law in this country, which we abide by. Otherwise, what are we really? So she's saying there's nothing stopping us from taking the land by force. But no, this is, you can't have a constitutional review committee if people are coming in with this sort of mindset. These are things that we hold sacred so that people in this country have security to strive to become better. But she, to rapturous applause, is saying, no, screw it, we'll just take it by force.
In South Africa.
Because 1652 is the day where the Dutch gangsters arrived, where they robbed us. And these gangsters...
The Dutch gangsters robbed us. Geez. Okay. I've got a hand to them. I mean, they've all read from the EFF song sheet pretty well here. I mean, this is decent comprehension. You can say what you want about the education system. People are retelling stories.
They are not apologetic. So we are saying to them, we've been patient enough with their sinister motives. Our patience is running out. And once that patient is running out, Chairperson, we'll have no alternative but to forcefully take this land back to us. So, Chairperson, we are saying, you in Parliament, you must make sure that this thing does not delay up until after elections. We cannot wait up until after 2019 elections, because by that time, I don't think we'll be having that patient enough to work or to live with these people where they continue owning our land. We want this matter to be resolved before 2019 elections.
The white people...
Okay, this guy from the BLF, it's just literally, he's been handed a piece of paper and he's just now reading it.
But devil, they took our land because we were just black people. And we are here to collect. Remove the whole section of 25 of the constitution and replace that section. All land that is held by white thieves must be declared as stolen property.
So it's just so vindictive. Like, again, this guy, he literally is in a BLF shirt. A lot of people are in EFF clothing. They're just being put there. And this guy, he's physically reading some sort of script that got it. And this woman's holding a piece of paper. I don't think it's got to do with language or just comprehension. This is narrative is literally being put on to a stand.
Before I carry on, I want to see the media here and Afri Forum. They should make sure that all this that has been said across this... committee review. They have been spread through the world.
The white people, they don't belong to here in South Africa. White people are from Europe.
Okay, you get the point. I'm not playing this whole thing. So what these things have seemed to be falling out on, it's all just anti-white sentiment. Okay, so let's look at land. Now, retribution, it's a good word, right? It's returning something that was to be taken unjustly, that kind of stuff. If it's going to be retribution, have I got that right? It'd be embarrassing if I cocked that up. But I get that, right? If there are genuine land claims, everyone that's standing up here right now, it's pretty sure they don't own land. They don't really have a grievance. If they do, why are they not opening with the grievance saying, my ancestor, whatever, kicked off this land here. This land was stolen. That I don't hear any of that coming through. If it is such a clear-cut case of theft, an actual personal attack, why are they not running with that? Why are they just regurgitating this whole political rhetoric that's being thrown up by these very weak individuals who are just looking for popularity and power? That's what I'm not entirely sure about. Land distribution doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me, because that's basically saying, right, you guys are now not entitled to land. Okay, so now we're doing this whole thing where races are more superior to others. I'm sure you might know enough by history to know that's already happened in this country once before. Didn't go very well. So I find this whole thing baffling. And from what I've seen, but more on social media, is that a lot of these sort of these Constitutional Review Committee's hearings have just become anti-white hate speech rallies, essentially. So whenever a white person gets up and says anything, they get booed. Whenever a black person gets up and says things like the white people are foreigners, they get cheered. So it worries me in a variety of things. But like, the big takeout for me, and these people are entitled to get up, that's the whole thing, the beauty of democracy. I suppose we're a democratic nation, you can have your say. What really worries me here is the caliber of people that seem to have been produced by this ANC government.
Not a black person in Europe who owned the land. But they are coming here today to say we must share the land with them. We must not share the land.
I know there's historical points here and there's good discussions, but this ANC has fucked this country up so hard, that everyone here is mostly unemployed. We saw the stats earlier. This isn't me having
a... Anthea was bringing them up.
This isn't me having a go here. So you've got unemployed, desperate people who are literally taking in the narratives of desperate and power-hungry parties, okay? The ANC and EFF, they're not really adding anything to a populace right now. They keep talking about the land. Have we seen one sort of agricultural college that's going to be set up to now do something with the land? Land is worthless unless you know what to do with it. Land's value comes from what people do to land. So now, all this land's going to go to, as they say, the people of this country. But are there skill to do anything with it? No. Is the EFF or the ANC putting it into their plan, or do they just want cheap high fives and cheers? Because it looks like they want cheap high fives and cheers. So I don't know what can possibly come out of this Constitutional Review Committee if this is the kind of conversations that are getting up here. Granted, I'm just seeing clips here. This may be put together by someone who's looking to show one side of the story. But from what I've read and what I've heard from people, it all spirals down to one thing, is that there's this huge anti-white sentiment that comes up out of all of this. It's not about getting land back. It's about taking people away. And this is the whole thing about redistribution and why it doesn't make any financial sense, is that when you do that, suddenly nothing has value. So now you're taking away value. Okay, cool. You want to do that? That's great. I saw a stat. I think it was 17... $1 billion of the land, so to speak, is bonded at the banks. Okay, so you want to take the land. Who pays that $17 billion? No one. It's without compensation. Okay, so now what must the banks do with $17 billion worth of debt? Write it off. Okay, cool. So now we don't have an economy. So all these cliches going towards Zimbabwe in future are all going to happen. Now, I know that this is a 3-hour conversation of which I am not skilled or intelligent enough to have, nor do I feel I should bore you with. But there are so many fundamental issues here that are not being addressed by politicians, because all they want to do is somehow just get votes for 2019. And in doing so, this whole land without compensation thing will get them votes. Okay, cool. So now you've got
votes. It's a new buzzword, the new buzz term.
But exactly, Sia. But if you're not being educated, which this government is very hell-bent on that staying a reality, because they could have done that by now, all the money they've had, they don't want to educate these people, so they're going to have these same narratives. So you can't really blame them either. I mean, this isn't me attacking these people. I'm not calling them morons or anything vindictive. I'm just saying they're in a very unfortunate position, but now they're just pulling the piss. That's what they're doing. They're going to these things, they're making them a mockery, all because they're just mouthpieces for these very... just vacuous politicians, and it's just a sad state of affairs. But again, it goes back to the whole hate speech thing. How is this okay behavior to basically go up there and say, I'm sick and tired of whites, I hate whites, all this kind of stuff, they don't deserve to be here, they're thieves. The guy with the BLF shirt who was reading from that piece of paper, he said the white devil. He didn't say like, yeah, I don't think whites should own land or something like that. He just straight away, it's vindictive, it's antagonistic. And if you do care about history of what's happened around us, all the answers are there for us. We just need to want to have them. But these people don't seem to have an application or an interest in truth, economics, or any sort of balanced conversation. It's, I want this, I must have this, I demand this. Politicians with no substance, they take that and they make that their thing too, because they want their votes. It's so hard. But this hate thing is a big issue, huh? I remember walking through that genocide memorial museum in Kigali, Rwanda last year. And you see the chronological kind of how these things basically held up between the Hutus and the Tutsis. And it didn't just happen overnight. There was little rallies like this saying, I hate these people. They don't belong to this country. We're superior. And before you know it, there'll be a catalyst. And that's how bloodshed starts to go down. That's how massacres start to happen. And this is a ticking time bomb. If narratives like that are being allowed in public, there's no recourse. And they're just being thrown out there. The woman, like that woman says, we are the majority, we'll take by force. If that's your starting point, and politicians will only then fan those flames, you're in for disaster. The evidence is all around us. So if you just think that you can flippantly throw around this whole conversation about the land without looking into it, then you're just a moron. You know, politicians they don't care. I mean, they're above judgment at the moment for me, I believe. But you see comedians for cheap laughs talking about the land, and I always take back the land. If there's a legitimate claim, great. Let's go through this function. Unfortunately, the ANC have been so piss poor in going through due process that they haven't even taken land claim things seriously. If people are saying this land was taken from me, what's happening with that? Takes work, takes effort. They haven't done that. So now they've got this backlog of people who are with genuine grievances. Now everyone else who doesn't have land or a say or a dog in the fight are jumping onto that, and suddenly everyone wants all the land. Not the land in dispute, all the land. It makes no sense. It's only ever going to lead to absolute flames for this country and zero economy. And well, I just feel like I've stayed at the office for 25 minutes. But Sia, that's it's a worry, is it not?
I hear you. So I hear you. Really, like, for me, there's just nothing else to say about the matter, but I just feel like everything is so interconnected and there's this chain reaction, and I don't think it's being dealt with in a healthy way. And granted, people are emotional and they're affected and they really have grievances, but that is not this good starting point to how to deal with things. You need to, there are processes in life for a specific reason. There are other people to factor in. If you feel like change needs to happen, it needs to be productive and constructive. And right now, the way things are, productive and constructive are the last on the chain, in my opinion.
It's a good point, because everyone's involved here. And this is the beauty and the curse of this country, is that we have incredible people. We have incredible diversity.
Yeah.
Every time I travel within South Africa or I go somewhere different, I'm amazed by how great people are out here. But you've got this element who just doesn't want harmony. They just don't want any sort of great big picture plan. No beautiful South Africa thing. In 1994, the world was throwing money at this place. They wanted to be a part of it. It was this dream that everyone aspired to liking and being a part of. And that can still happen. But we get to this point, there's no return, where it's, okay, we hate the whites, they must give up the land, we must take it by force. There's no return from that. You know, people said, like, oh, it'll take the country 3 or 4 years to bounce back from junk status in the economy. Well, I don't think there's a coming back from ANC status.
Yeah.
They've literally used this country as a toilet. And people standing up there just mouthing off that bullshit makes you realize how failed the education system is, how failed society has become. I mean, I saw last week that someone stole one of those SASA ATMs.
Uh-huh.
How broken is society? People drove a Buc-ee's here into a spa supermarket and they put the grant money ATM onto the back of the Buc-ee and took it away. You want to talk about sense of community? It's gone. This kind of stuff, it's gone. So you want to take away Section 25, whatever is the Constitution? Your land will be taken the very next day if you are so lucky as to get land, because that is the mentality. So you want lawlessness, you want anarchy, you want all that kind of stuff. These are people talking.
How, I wonder, no, the vision overall, is this going to happen in a peaceful, constructive way?
But see, that's not that exactly. On the back of this conversation, peaceful and constructive do not even enter the party.
If the ANC really is saying, great, cool, as they've stated, they have their eyes set on 139 farms to go out and they plan to expropriate without compensation in the next few weeks. And they say this in an official's capacity with saying, okay, cool, no, we don't know you, any more details on that. We aren't going to say where the farms are or who we're going to be talking to beforehand. But this is what is going to be rolled out in the next couple of weeks. Aye, aye, aye. Yeah.
But again, it's 137 farms. But take the narratives as the EFF will keep drumming up. I tell you what, and they're going to go into overdrive coming up to the elections.
Yeah.
Suddenly, it's people invading houses. Because in their mind, because 1 plus 1 equals 73, and they don't need reason. They don't need rights or wrong or moral. It's just like, well, we take back the land. They don't understand that there's patches of land in dispute. For them, your house, your shopping mall, your whatever it is.
Yeah.
And this is where the mob mentality gets into, because mobs aren't known for rational thought. One person does something, something gets set fire to, and well, there you go.
Well, I don't mean to move on from one to the other, but I think this is quite rich coming from Robert Mugabe's son. But former President Robert Mugabe's son, Robert Jr., has now taken to social media to express what he deems as sorrow at the seeds of violence that have gripped Zimbabwe last week. So in a post on his Instagram, lest we forget Robert Jr. is only 26 years old, he said that the scenes were ones he found unfamiliar, suggesting that Zimbabwe was actually better under his father's rule. Directly quoting him, he said,
of course it was, because he was getting...
how rich coming from him. directly quoting him. He says, this is not the Zimbabwe I grew up in. This is not the Zimbabwe I know. And he captioned this in a picture of a burning vehicle. So, yeah, and it's quite rich, really, coming from him. He ends off that post by saying, let God do God's work. I don't know what's that supposed to mean, Robert Jr. I don't know if you are saying that you are now blessed and decreed by God, or
yep, of course.
How great it was that God was around when you were living in Sandton and driving these fancy cars and you were going to New York and your people were suffering. But alas, Robert Jr. is currently based here in Johannesburg, where he has opened his own fashion label, by the way. And he's also studying. This is according to Harare's Daily News. And on the eve of Monday's elections, the former President Mugabe said he would vote for Nelson Chamisa. He repeated his strong criticism in November when he saw his ruling ZANU-PF party replace him with Emmerson Mnangagwa. But yeah.
Well.
How rich.
Well.
How look, absolutely rich.
I just think that we can all, once and for all, bullshit must no longer fly in this world. People and their cheap tricks and their charlatan act, whatever it is, we can't let this happen anymore. If you don't believe in something, stand up for it.
Yeah.
If you think people are taking the piss, or they are misguided, or they're just vindictive and have an ulterior motive, stand up to it. The time of being impartial or kind of nonchalant about stuff is over. It really is. The bullshit cannot fly anymore. Mikhail says here, first time in 34 years of my life, I now feel scared hearing that. That was just hatred. Yeah, you're right. A couple of messages on the same tune here. Anyway, we must... Sorry, I mean, I didn't mean to go on for so long about that.
No, not at all.
But it's just that it's a huge talking point right now.
It is.
And we'll only hear more about it.
And call me naive, but I really do believe that these are the moments that will lead. My goodness, I'm so...
All choked up.
It is very emotional. But call me naive, but I feel like these are the moments that will lead us to... change in some way, shape, or form. I was listening a couple of months ago to a conversation around the Me Too movement, and it was really, in my opinion, a very constructive conversation around progression and Trump being elected, and this is not what we envisioned for ourselves 10 years ago. I just think sometimes progress doesn't mean a linear straight point. Mm-hmm. I think... once again, I will gladly be labeled naive, but I do think the mere fact that now so many people are aware of what is happening in the world and they are having these conversations is a good thing. We were really, go back 10, 15 years ago, we were hopping on South Africa, live with possibility.
Oh yeah, Rainbow Nation.
And the World Cup happened and was amazing. Powers. Absolutely. But now the mere fact that even young people have these terms in their heads, are they doing what is most constructive? That is debatable. But this is just, at least the seed is planted. And cool. Hey, you know,
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
But don't come with the hatred, the narrow-mindedness, and don't become a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
A political party that will only use you as a stepping stone. And don't you dare believe it's going to be your Jesus or your daddy. And then Chulis is going to be like, hey, look, here's your house in Bryanston. Does not work that way.
Exactly.
Never work that way. And have conversations, but understand everybody needs respect. I don't care what color you are. Everyone's going to be respected. And there's so much more we can say about this. But we've got a guest that's coming in.
Yes.
We've got a whole show we're going to try to finish up. We've got messages that I've been neglecting. Just very quickly, Keenan, I don't know if I can read all your message out, but yes, I totally agree with you.
What did Keenan say?
I haven't got time to get into it.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I haven't got time to get into it.
Excuse
what we must do is talk about a South African that is doing great things and just thinking, screw it, I'm going to do my own jewel in life, and he's created something quite special. So Brandon Kinnock is coming in after I play a bit of Toe-tip and Nostalgia.
Okay. Inspire the nation again, Ben. Inspire the nation.
This is Toto with Shithole. Well, CS said that was kind of corny. I agree with him. But I mean, we just had a big conversation on land.
Do you know what? As corny as it is, I did not hate any moment of it.
Go Toto, hey? Toto's still going.
Ooh.
It's probably one of those bands that they'll probably play in like Calgary, or they'll just play those kind of gigs.
Toto are... oh my goodness, yes. They still have touring dates. And they have 4 shows coming up in New Zealand. They're touring all over the US. Well, okay. Good on them.
I reckon those guys are so tired of that song. No. Like, oh, fuck, it's Africa again. Okay, cool, guys. Strum it up.
I always think that's debatable. I would sing that Africa song knowing how much money is going into my bank account, and that's how I'd be happy.
Sure, but every time you hear the opening bars of that song, just think a few of those people. It's like, what's that? Pavlov's Dog. Science isn't my thing.
We aren't here to judge
but
you.
But I tell
okay.
you what, Brandon Kinnock's in studio with us right now. Brandon, hello. Good morning.
Morning. Thanks so much for having you on your show.
Awesome.
You never have to thank us for that. Or actually, thanks, yeah. He books all the guests. Yeah. Now, the reason we got Brandon on is was actually quite nice to go from the previous conversation to something positive, is that Brandon is 16 years old, and he is a self-taught game developer. Now, is that kind of the title that you go by?
Yeah, so I've been developing for the past 6 years, and it's just my passion.
Okay, jeez. So now this, straight away, is something I know next to nothing on. I grew up with Atari, so you weren't even born. Alan, his dad here, is nodding. I think he knows what Atari is. So basically, when I was a kid, and I'm not that old, bear in mind, there was a joystick, and you'd play games like Pong. It was, put it this way, Sonic the Hedgehog blew my mind. Again, you don't know what I'm talking about. But like, this is where gaming was. And it became this really big thing because the moment the console came out, like PlayStation 1 was, it was like having a space shuttle in your lounge.
Okay, now you're sort of speaking our language. I know, you're referencing PlayStation.
And then Xbox, it was just too much. Like, what could we do? But now, gaming, from what I understand, it is so across the board. It's on your phone. It's touch screens in a car. It's everywhere and everywhere. So much so that, you're a success story about this because it's so open format now. But what made you, did you start playing games and you were like, I can make something better? Or did you start playing games and it was like, I'm bored, I'll make my own? Like, what was the first thought here?
Well, it was really just that I've always grown up with such a love for technology, and I've always loved gaming. And I literally just decided one day at the age of 11 that I'm going to create my own.
At the age of 11.
Yeah. I mean, 11, I was still eating crayons. Like, I thought Michael Jackson was a great role model when I was 11. Wait, what did you... 11, you were interested in game development and programming. What's the first step that you take at that age, even?
Yeah, so immediately I turned to the internet. Mm-hmm. And I started teaching myself. And I just downloaded a bunch of software. I knew absolutely nothing when I was starting out. And I actually got into graphics design because that was kind of what one of the softwares that I was using was mm-hmm. based around. And I did that for about 2 years. Then I started picking up an interest in programming again. And that's really when I realized that game development is the perfect combination of the two. And that's why I love it so much.
Was it still at that age just something you were curious and interested in? Or was it at that point... something which you understood, like, okay, maybe I want to make money off this, maybe I want to build into a career?
Well, it always started out as just a hobby, something that I was really passionate about and I really enjoyed doing. But when Blast came about, that was when I really decided that I wanted to do it professionally, and I know that I want to make a living out of this one day, so there's nothing stopping me from starting right now.
Sure, okay, just to backtrack a touch there before Sia goes for the money question. So, when you're developing these games, okay, like you said, you went to the internet first, that's your grounding. Now, how do you get your game to the point where, like, you know, it's playable? I mean, is there like an open source kind of thing that you guys have where you can try each other's games? I mean, again, pardon my ignorance on this, but you will need your game to be trial, like any product that you have. Is it such an open source kind of thing that you can release it like that? Like, What's the process?
Yeah, so, I mean, when I started out, I was testing all my own games and, I was kind of like finding all the bugs and that kind of stuff myself.
Yeah.
And it's still kind of like that, but I do have a beta program, which I let a few of my friends and that try my games. So pretty much that's how I test them.
And this is all, like, you don't have to have huge computers and huge infrastructure to make these kind of things. This isn't like mining Bitcoin where you need
Not at all. But definitely for graphics and advanced computing, you do need a bit of a more high-end computer, and there's a bit of hardware required. But definitely when I was starting out, I didn't have any of that.
Okay, so now, you know, when people talk to you now, obviously the thing that was a huge thing was this just runaway success. When you're the game of the day on an app store, like, knowing how many people are on this app and accessing these things, like that process there, obviously you had expectations this was a pretty good thing. And then you start seeing the downloads, start seeing the numbers. Now, what does this mean, going back to CS, obvious desire here, from a monetary aspect? Is it about getting it out there kind of like music, and you get like sort of royalties from the game? Or how does it work in that respect?
Well, it really depends on how you monetize your game. And the purpose of Taurus wasn't really to make money. It was like, I knew that I was still a very new developer. And so I was really just hoping to get an extremely successful game and just to build a name for myself.
Right.
So that players would recognize me and want to play my games. And I think that definitely worked out very well.
I mean, very well is being game of the day in 137 countries.
Yeah. 100,000 downloads. Geez. To give you some more context than that, in his first 24 hours on the App Store.
He says casually very well. I would be, I'm too pompous for this. I'd be driving around with my whole car labeled with this.
We know as much.
That's my problem. Where were you when you found this out? Were you looking at the numbers? Were you seeing the downloads in real time? How did you feel when you found this out?
So, leading up to the launch, I had scheduled the launch with Apple, and in the months before, they were very involved with me, because they had actually found Blast in the App Store and realized that I'm...
This is your first game that you created.
Yeah, which wasn't a huge success, but they realized that I'm quite a talented developer, and so I kept them up to date with Taurus, and I'd scheduled the release of the update, and... I was definitely expecting a feature, but definitely not game of the day in 137 countries.
That's
and
huge.
So I remember the night before, I stayed up till midnight and I was just watching my phone, waiting for the App Store to refresh. And there it was. And then on the day, I had a live stream of downloads. And it was just crazy to see literally one download every second.
Shucks.
About two sessions every second, so three little dots popping up around the world
but obviously you become quite established now. I mean, I'm just talking about the two games aside, obviously what you know you're capable of. Is the dream to be taken up by like a big sort of production company that do these big games? I mean, there must be like big corporations that have this kind of stuff. Do you want to be taken up by a big thing, or do you want to stay fiercely independent and knowing that you can make your own way?
I think more independence, because I definitely want to be my own boss one day.
Yeah.
And so right now I would just like to grow my own studio, which is called Hardgraft Studios. And yeah, I would like
Hardgraft. Yeah. There we go.
Well, it's super smart too, because like you said, like there's elements of gaming, which is why you enjoy gaming, because the elements of what you like. So with a studio like this, you can go into other avenues as well.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm just going to make a game this year. Like, there's various things you can do, obviously, by creating your studio.
So, well, definitely in the future, like you said, I would like to move into more than just gaming, other aspects of technology. But I would also like to develop it into a AAA game development studio.
What does that mean?
So, AAA games are just pretty much just the biggest and best. So, all the major titles and like PlayStation games and Xbox games and those kind of things.
So what are you currently playing? I mean, do you go through stages where you play all of them, or are you not much of a gamer when it comes to playing?
I actually don't play a lot of games because, firstly, I just don't have a lot of time. And the free time that I do have, I would prefer to spend more productively working on my own games. Or
so mature, Hiss, yeah?
Well, geez, he's just way more grounded than any of us were.
But like, say... Fortnite or Call of Duty.
I play Fortnite.
Okay, so when these things come out, obviously you look at them like I write. That's my talent in life. So when I watch a movie, dialogue for me is key. So when these games come out, are you looking at that and going, I would have done that better, or I can do that, or I want to do that in future?
Yeah, well, actually, in terms of mobile games, I always love downloading them and playing them just to see what other developers are doing.
Right, yeah.
And kind of what the trends are and where games are going.
Is the person behind Candy Crush a billionaire?
I'm sure he is.
Oh, okay. I'm just putting it out there then.
I had a really great question to follow up on the gaming thing. I've forgotten about that now.
Well, this is what I find the beauty and the curse, though, of achieving success at a young age. And for any sort of creative, and you do something amazing and you're known for that, and then there's that question instantly that everyone starts asking, what's next? Do you feel, as much as you're saying you have the studios and that's your plan, do you feel the pressure of that what's next? And now people are looking at you like, okay, cool, you're that 16-year-old cool kid, you've created these two games.
I think I can ask that question for him.
You mean you can answer that question for him?
I mean, obviously, like, you know, when you dance to me, right, your ambition is your strongest driver.
Yeah.
What people think about you is going to be very secondary, because you know that you can create bigger and better the whole time, right?
Yeah, well, for me, I'm not doing it to impress anyone else. I'm doing it for myself. And
so in whatever you're doing now, you're on thinking, oh, shucks, well, I hope it launches, and it launches 180.
Yeah.
No, I think it's quite...
that is a good question.
It is.
But now, Brandon, like, you talk about other avenues. You know, we have a huge problem in this country with education. General cognitive abilities is not great. I mean, is this another avenue you reckon that there's huge potential?
I definitely think so, because I'm completely self-taught, and I think it was the best way to learn everything about game development and programming and graphics design and that. And I definitely think it is very important.
But I was thinking, you can actually create games that are going to help people join the dots towards getting these things. Because I always believe that all kids want to play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kids don't want to become smart or whatever. They want to fundamentally play. So if there's good enough games that are engaging enough, I mean, 137 countries like your game, okay?
Yeah.
Let's say you can get 137 schools taking part in something that's going to help them get towards general comprehension or numbers or numeracy, whatever it is. Like, there's huge potential in that.
Well, at the moment, I still prefer developing games, not so much apps, mainly because they're just a lot more fun to develop, and I think people enjoy them more. But yeah, possibly in the future, because like I said, I do believe in self-education.
Yeah, exactly. Now, okay. with the whole thing of like esports and the whole e-gaming thing as well, we know that's becoming this multi-million-dollar industry. Like, do you think it's only going to get bigger and better, or do you think it's kind of like a bit, I don't know, maybe it's just more like a fad and people are going to go have offshoots? Or do you think esports is the future?
I think esports is still quite a unique, what's the word?
Niche. Yeah.
Whereas I think casual gaming will definitely keep growing. And that's kind of what I'm focusing on.
Oh, great. And what grade are you in, by the way? So it's
grade 11.
Grade 11, okay. And so you've spoken about how you have your eyes set on studying computer science.
Mm.
Jeez, that's quite a lot. So you have your eyes set on moving to the States.
That's correct.
Yeah. What's your vision then, moving to the States as well?
Well, I would like to study computer science at either Stanford or MIT.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, develop my studio in the States, because it's just, that's where the industry is, that's where the opportunities are, and yeah, computer science, that's...
Are you like strong in maths and science though?
Definitely, yeah. Oh. But there is a lot of...
Okay, that's good.
There's the catch, kids. You gotta be smart.
There is, in the programming, there's a lot of maths involved.
Yeah, sure.
Especially when you start doing advanced programming and... you know, more of the low-level algorithms and stuff, it gets quite complex. So being
right,
good
Brandon,
at math
well,
is a requirement.
Well, you've shown the blueprint for success completely, and you seem to have a very mature head on your shoulders at the age of 16. Where can we find more of you, obviously, track your path and your journey here? Obviously, you go into the App Store. You've got how many games available on the App Store currently?
I've got two published games at the moment.
So that's Blast and, of course, Taurus.
Blast and Taurus, yes.
Okay, so you can find those games and you play them and go, hey, I heard the guy who made this game today.
Yeah.
See?
And those are on the App Store for iOS devices. Then there's also my website, www.hardcraft.co.za, and my Instagram account, just brandon.kynock.
Cool.
Perfect. I feel like you must be the coolest kid in school. Anyone who doesn't think you're cool is just jealous, but I'd roll around with you at school. I'd be the one who's tooting your own horn then. That is awesome. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
All right, that's Brandon. And this gaming thing is like a really big deal. We'll wrap things up in a second, but if you are into gaming whatsoever, then go into the App Store and find those things.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, like Candy Crush was a big deal.
Mm.
Well, there's smarter kids doing better things, all happening. There was something I wanted to play for you earlier, and then we just really have run out of time, but the Griffy the Weather Dog. What people do for ratings is the point
Griffy
of me.
The Weather Dog.
People do for ratings is the point of me wanting to play this. Is that there's a dog that comes in the studio, but the dog didn't really care about playing its part. Instead, it wanted to play fetch, and then it just became so absolutely cringe.
Rala at 8, Lake Ozark coming in at 9. Griffy wants to play, and okay, go get it. And I will say, Griffy loves the snow. We had to take 5 takes to try to potty just once. That's because he loves the snow that much. He just can't do it. Okay. Hi, bud. All right. We are seeing that's some light winds. And if you're heading out the door, it's cold. For Leonardwood coming in at 0-1. And that was what it feels like in Springfield.
This
9 in Lake Ozark.
This dog keeps coming back. Right, wants this toy. He's playing fetch on TV.
And as it slides off to the east, look at the winds. Here comes Friday. Hey.
This dog is not stopping all over
really
him.
Strong out of the southwest. Oh, gosh. You really want to play. Yesterday he was quiet. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a different dog. Our west wind starts to move in, and it gets even warmer heading into Saturday. Notice the system rolling just down to the south. Clear sky.
Dog is now pouring at his crotch, but like he's literally like he's just punching his balls.
This afternoon. Okay. Take a look at future temperatures here. Future temperatures bring highs. Oh, sorry, bud. Okay. He's a warrior.
Okay, I'm gonna send this to Dori, who puts together our websites, and she'll put this onto the podcast. We have run out of time. Run out of time. Big thanks to our guest Brandon coming through today. Of course, he is still in school, so you know mornings are difficult. And Sia, thank you for being here today.
Well, it's my job.
Well, you can look at it like that.
It's my job.
But other people don't rock up for their jobs sometimes.
Good point. Well yes, put. Exactly. I'll be here again tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
Appreciate you. Nolo, thank you for your contribution today.
And yep. Her mic goes
and
off.
Mic go, no. So yeah, catch us tomorrow. Tomorrow we have, who's joining us tomorrow?
Tomorrow we have actors in a new local film, and they're promoting that, which is always cool.
And who's our third person?
Who's that? What do you mean?
Well, is Leanne going to be with us?
Leanne.
Leanne Moll is back tomorrow. We've got actors that CSO descriptively told us about. And we'll have Gareth contributing as well, telling us about his first few bottles of champagne aboard Crystal Cruises. He's going pretty well with that. Yeah, if you do want to know what Gareth is up to, though, go onto his Instagram account because he's uploading huge amounts of pictures and all kinds of really great things to make us very jealous. Although, you know, don't be jealous in life. Don't be jealous. Don't be nasty. Be kind today and be kind this week. And if all else fails, it's a short week. So then you can ignore people later on. Oh. That's my word for the day.
Good point.
For extra words for the day, I'll play out with Nelly Furtado. But thank you for joining us today in the comfort of cliffcentral.com. Remember to go onto the website and find a whole bunch of other podcasts that you can listen to forever and ever, basically. Cliffcentral.com.